Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you on the Republic Broadcasting Network from Washington, D.C. Yes, it's Washington, D.C., very interesting city to be in sometimes, what with all these criminals roaming the streets. And I'm not talking about the rapists and the murderers and the crackheads. I'm talking about our politicians. And speaking of our politicians, this issue of the criticism of Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld doesn't seem to be going away. Last night on the program, I indicated to you that there was quite a bit of commentary on it, and obviously the powers that be are a little bit concerned that our good men in the military are getting out of line. I mentioned yesterday that Tony Blankley, a conservative columnist with the Washington Times, in fact, a former press secretary to Newt Gingrich, I believe, Tony Blankley is once again calling for a court of inquiry to see if the military is being insubordinate to our beloved president. Well, like I said yesterday, I'm proud of these insubordinate men, and I hope more and more of them keep speaking out, because if there's anybody in this country that most Americans respect, most of America's real patriots, it is our military. And once they start hearing the military say what has to be said, maybe people are going to finally wake up and realize that this creature in the White House and this sordid assortment of creepy crawlers that he has assembled as his advisors, some might say the people who are really running the show inside the administration. In any case, more and more people are going to realize that the military doesn't quite love George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld and this whole criminal gang, as many Americans unfortunately seem to think they do. It is a good thing that the military is speaking out, and you know, they have. It's very, very interesting now that that a wonderful conservative such as Tony Blankley would now start talking about having our military officers prosecuted, not for being disloyal Americans, not for being traitors, but for just daring to point out that there are things that need to be said. And, you know, pointed out yesterday that even David Broder, who is considered one of the most distinguished political columnists, he wrote in the Washington Post that there is, again, this the military is speaking out, and that when Congressman John Murtha of Pennsylvania dared to speak out, he wasn't speaking out for the ultra-left. He wasn't speaking out for pacifists. He was speaking out for the military because, you know, this is a tradition in the military that military men do speak out and dare to say that war is a racket, like General Smedley Darlington Butler, the Marine hero, two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner. He dared to say it back in the 1940s when he stood off in opposition to U.S. involvement in World War II, and he wasn't alone among them. People like General Robert Wood, many, many other great military leaders said that it was nonsense for the United States to get involved in a war in Europe. And, of course, you know, it comes back full circle to today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we are on this course pushing further and further towards war in Iran. And, you know, if the military men who are the ones who really have the most directly to lose, if they're willing to speak out, then other people should be willing to speak out, too. I'm proud of those military guys that are speaking out. I think we should encourage them to do it. Another interesting news note, the FBI is seeking to get some control of certain papers in the files of the late columnist Jack Anderson. And, of course, this shouldn't be of any surprise when you consider the fact that the investigation stems from the fact that the FBI suspects, I'm going to hold it for the break, ladies and gentlemen, to tell you what the FBI suspects about Jack Anderson. What do you think it is that the FBI is interested in Jack Anderson's files for? Very interesting story. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington on RBNLive.com.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
This is Ravi Noel for Republic Trading Group. You cannot escape the headlines and the warnings about where the value of the U.S. dollar is going. Since November of last year, the 10-year U.S. Treasury has lost 1.6% of its value. The popular S&P 500 index has inked out a small 4.6% gain, while gold and silver have returned 20%. There's no doubt gold and silver have regained its luster as an asset class. And the reasons are simple. The twin U.S. deficits have spiraled out of control, and the accumulated debt in the United States has become way too high to be effectively ever repaid. It will either have to default or, more likely, inflate. There's never been a more important time to call Republic Trading Group to secure your future. Call us today and speak to Jeffrey Bennett or myself. Call that number at 1-800-691-7898.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you on rbnlive.com and hopefully on shortwave at 5.050. We had a little bit of strange interference there on the first few minutes of the broadcast. I hope it's going to go away. Thought it might have been the bad weather here in Washington, D.C., but it turns out we don't have bad weather in Washington, D.C. right now. I had to look out the window to see what was going on. However, as I told Paul, my producer, over the past few years, particularly since 911, I have had a lot of odd clicking on my telephone, and anybody who has ever called me knows about that. Several of the guests who have been on the show talking to me privately have heard that clicking, so it's not my imagination. In any case, so if anybody is tapping in and wants to listen to what I'm talking about on the phone, I would request that instead they check into rbnlive.com and they can hear it live on the Internet or at 5.050. But please don't interrupt the broadcast. In any event, right before the break, I was telling you about a story that is developing right now. And it's on the front page of the New York Times. This is no secret story, but it's a very interesting story. Columnist Jack Anderson died last year, and now, and I'm hearing that strange click again, but columnist Jack Anderson died last year, and the FBI is now trying to get a look at Jack Anderson's private papers because they think that they may find evidence relating to the current Israeli lobby scandal that is raging here in Washington. And that in itself is very interesting because if you've been reading my work for any number of years at all, you know that I've been writing about Jack Anderson's activities, and I have pointed out very clearly that Jack Anderson had long-standing ties to the Israeli lobby and to groups such as the Anti-Defamation League of Mene Brith. And very frankly, you know, many of the columns that Jack Anderson wrote over the years, he was deliberately floating Israeli propaganda. But yet, of course, you know, Jack Anderson was a Pulitzer Prize winner. You know, he was respected as a purveyor of truth. He was respected as someone who was bringing news and information. But in fact, in many respects, Jack Anderson was precisely, as I said, a propagandist for Israel. And I'll tell you what, you know, this sounds like nasty rhetoric. This sounds like nasty name calling. But I'll tell you what, Jack Anderson and I had a mutual friend. And guess what? This mutual friend that I shared with Jack Anderson used to share an office with Jack Anderson. And this friend of mine, who was a friend of Jack Anderson's, happened to be a lobbyist for the Israeli arms industry. I know that's going to shock a lot of people that I, Mike Piper, who have been a big critic of Israel and of the Israeli lobby, would actually have a friend who was a lobbyist for the Israelis. But in fact, I did. And he and I used to eat lunch occasionally. He's a very old man now, basically retired. But he and Jack Anderson were friends, and I always thought that was rather interesting that Jack Anderson would be sharing his office with someone who was a major behind-the-scenes player in the intelligence intrigues and Washington duties and activities of the Israeli lobby. So now the FBI is trying to get a look at Jack Anderson's papers and just see what kind of information he was feeding AIPAC and what kind of information AIPAC was feeding him. Well, there will be a brouhaha over this in the courts, and people will say it's, you know, freedom of the press and freedom of speech, and, of course, I'm all in favor of that. But it is interesting because it does kind of bring back the record of Jack Anderson and kind of indicates what kind of columnist he really was. Now, speaking of freedom of speech, that brings up another very important point. Reading today in the Washington Times, I was reading a rather extended account of some of the activities that are taking place in Venezuela today. Critics are saying that President Chavez of Venezuela is restricting freedom of speech and freedom of information. And, you know, yes, he is. If all these stories are correct, they're very, very true. Now, I've spoken very favorably of President Chavez. I've also spoken very favorably of President Putin of Russia. And you know what? A lot of the critics are saying the same things about Putin, that he's interfering with freedom of speech, that he's restricting political rights, and so forth. Yes, he is doing that. But, folks, here's my point. I don't like to see him do it any more than I like to see the government of Zimbabwe committing the atrocities that they're committing against white farmers and restricting freedom of speech down there. I don't like to see the government of North Korea doing the same things. I don't like to see the government of China doing those things. But I also don't believe that it's the responsibility of the American government to police the world. I don't believe that if some newspaper editor in Venezuela has been muzzled, that it really is the responsibility of the United States to go in there and shoot the country up and overthrow the government and rescue some newspaper editor. And if, sadly enough, thousands of people are being butchered in China, I don't believe that it's the responsibility of the United States to go to war against China. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there who will selectively say, well, yes, we should go to war here because of this, or we should go to war here because of that. I try to be consistent about it in my own thinking. It may not be right. It may be a sad thing to see people suffering unnecessarily. But, you know, I kind of look back to the days, you know, when we had segregation here in America, and there were a lot of countries around the world that didn't like that, right or wrong. I'm not taking a position. What I'm saying is that there were a lot of countries around the world who thought it was very shameful that we had segregation in this country. And we sure wouldn't like it if those countries had allied together and invaded the United States to enforce integration. Just as we wouldn't like it today if there were countries around the world who would say, well, the United States is treating its illegal alien population wrong. They're trying to round them up. They're trying to restrict their freedoms. They're trying to deny them rights. We better go in there and rescue them. So all I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that, you know, when I say nice things about President Putin of Russia, I'm not necessarily endorsing his domestic policies. I admire him as a thorn in the side of the New World Order, which he is, because he is asserting the national sovereignty of Russia, just as Hugo Chavez is doing in Venezuela. And as I might add, the president of Iran is doing in Iran. Now, that's going to upset a lot of people because they've been rallied to the idea that Iran is part of some gigantic Muslim conspiracy that's about to take over the world, all of the West is going to be consumed by a Muslim invasion. You know, there are those who want to believe that President Putin of Russia is really a secret communist who's just waiting to launch nuclear missiles into the United States. And while, as I say, he may not be following quote-unquote democratic ideals in Russia, he may not be a model of what we would expect of a constitutional Republican president in this country. He is still standing up for his country. So it all comes back to what I said before, that you know, we can't look at things in black and white. We've got to stop thinking in the terms we were thinking of in the 1950s when we were ducking under desks to avoid attacks from the Soviet Union. You know, back in a time when when the biggest bankers in the United States were going over to the Soviet Union and being toasted by the Soviet communist leaders, we here in the United States were being told that we had to be taxed to finance a military to stand up to a country that was ready to attack us, when in fact it wasn't and probably couldn't have even if it had wanted to. So, again, it all comes back to this idea that we need new ideas, that we can't continue to assume that what was still is. It comes back to what I said, one of my favorite writers, Lawrence Dennis, said was operational thinking for survival. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there today who are preaching against Islam and saying that we're under invasion from Islam. I hear many people talking about the Islamic invasion of Europe. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if the figures I read are correct, only 5% of Europe's population right now is Muslim. Now, that may be a much bigger figure than it was years ago, but, I mean, 5% out of 95%, I'm just not sure if what we're hearing is necessarily always the case. You know, you can find a lot of facts in the mainstream media, but even in the alternative media and in independent voices, sometimes priorities get confused and emotion stands in the way of fact and of common sense. And like I say, this idea that somehow the Soviet Union is plotting to somehow destroy America, I don't buy. I don't like necessarily what President Putin is doing there. I don't like what President Hugo Chavez may be doing in Venezuela, or name any other country you want, but I just don't think it's our job to police the world. I think maybe it's our job to police our borders, north and south, and to police our ports, and to maintain order, and to maybe break up the big drug rackets in the cities. Maybe that's where we should be putting our military to work, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think about it? We're going to have open phones here, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. We have a caller, W.W. Elvis, calling from Tennessee. Let's bring W.W. Elvis up and see what he has to say tonight, he or she.
Hey, Mike, this is Elvis. I spoke to you at the Euro convention. We were talking about the JFK assassination.
Well, I tell you what, to tell you the truth, I probably spoke to about 50 people there about that subject.
Well, so. you commented about the, anyway.
I don't remember exactly who you are, but I'll take your word.
Anyway, what I wanted to tell you was you were talking about a lot of topics. Basically, Peter Schenck's mother's been sick, and he's been unable to reply to you about the letter that you wrote him, and he'll get back to you about the discussion that you had the other night. These topics that you bring up today are pretty interesting, but what gets me is, no one's upset about high oil prices.
You know,
and the United States never had a problem with Venezuela until Pat Robertson started getting into the issues with him. And I think that Chavez was right. You know, I think he should have punched Robertson out. That was totally uncalled for. But what I'm getting at is one guy's views has ruined oil prices for the rest of us, 250 million Americans, and we're paying for it at the pump.
Well, you know that, but you know, I tell you what, what's important about that is I don't think in the case of Pat Robertson that it was just one man's views. I really think that he was kind of floating a trial balloon for the Bush administration, and you know, talking about Chavez needing to be assassinated. I think that represents exactly the Bush administration's position. I mean, after all, they did try to overthrow him. And another part of it is also trying to influence a very, very large part of the American voting population, the people who follow the likes of Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and Tim LaHaye.
I agree. I agree on that. Also, I think it's uncalled for that President Bush doesn't like the regime in Iran. People, he's already overthrown the regime in Haiti. You know, that story was swept underneath the rug. But, I mean, that's the reason why you're Michael Collins Piper, because you always have the insight to things, Mike. And,
Let me tell you something about what I find very, very interesting about, you know, we hear about Iran and what a terrible theocracy it is and how there's no freedom of speech and no freedom of this and no freedom of that over there. But I'll tell you what, there's hardly a day goes by that I don't read stories in the Washington Post or the New York Times quoting, well, they'll say, Mr. Ali so-and-so, a man who has a business selling computer components in downtown Tehran, said today, blah, blah, blah. And then they go on and quote him heavily criticizing the Iranian president or heavily criticizing the Iranian religious leaders. Now, if this country is such a terrible theocracy in which there is no freedom, then how is it that these guys are allowed to be able to speak out and be named in the New York Times and the Washington Post? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
that just goes to show you. I mean, I've even read stories in the New York Times and the Washington Post about the, newspapers like that about the Jewish community in Iran. Now, if it's so bad, why are they still alive? If the Iranians are out to kill all the Jews in Iran, why haven't they done it already? They could do that and no one would know about it.
Well, that just goes to show you the freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
I read the Tehran Times daily here at the house.
Okay.
And the whole issue is about Israel not getting along with its neighbors in the Mideast,
mm-hmm.
trying to draw us into this next conflict. And it's pretty shocking where the press in the Mideast prints truth and it's uncensored, but yet they're turned around to be the diabolical, evil people.
Well, and consider it, too. The fact is that back during the Iran-Iraq war, the United States was funding both sides, sometimes at the same time. Then they'd prop up another side. Then they'd come in and prop up, the other side, Now, I hear people excuse that by saying, oh, well, that was in U.S. interest to do so. That was a really clever move on the part of the United States. No, it was not a really clever move on the part of the United States.
Ronald Reagan should have been impeached. That was an impeachable. Anyway, Mike, enjoy your insight. Enjoy your show. You're a dynamite individual.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I'm glad somebody likes me.
Well, seriously, you are. That's the reason why RBM wanted you in this time slot, because Solomon was killing him. But anyway, that's the part. And you're not the only one that's seeing it the same way. I mean, the other thing that's getting me, like I said, high fuel prices, but this immigration issue, there's a guy by the name of Terry Anderson who's having a demonstration at the Crawford Ranch coming up in May, and he's going to be speaking out for patriot rights by saying, not everybody is welcoming, these 12 million illegal aliens over here. They're illegal. What part of that don't you get? But the part that gets me is that George Bush is saying, well, we need to have a regime change in Iran. Well, I'm not happy with the administration here of George Bush's leadership.
I agree with you 100%.
Thanks,
and
Mike.
I think most people listening in tonight do.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling in. Yeah, that's an interesting point, ladies and gentlemen. This whole thing with Iran, that's another thing, too, I understand that they think is driving up oil prices. Major concern over the U.S. bellicosity towards Iran. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have a break coming up here, and we are already reaching the half-hour point. When we come back, more calls. The number is 800-313-9443. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. And, of course, not only is Washington the headquarters of our corrupt gangster government, it is the headquarters of American Free Press, which I'm pleased to say we just had an advertisement for here playing on RBN. Speaking of American Free Press, something many of you will be interested to know is that probably, slash possibly, not been fully determined yet, that is, but over Labor Day weekend, American Free Press, in conjunction with Barnes Review Magazine, may be having another national conference here in, probably here in the Washington, D.C. area. I notice I keep saying probably because nothing has been hammered down. We've had several of those conferences in the past several years. Usually we've had about 300 people at maximum, and a variety of very interesting speakers, speaking on a variety of interesting topics. In fact, 1 year, I think in our last conference, Rick Adams, who is the host of a program here on RBN, was the master of ceremonies. And it could very well be that he was a master of ceremonies at two of them. I'm getting old, and sometimes my memory fails me. But as the details of that conference are available, if indeed the conference will be held, I'll be letting you know more about it here on RBN, so we'll certainly invite everybody. The only prerequisite for attendance at the conference is that you actually have to subscribe to American Free Press, and that's a very, very minor prerequisite, considering the fact that for an entire year when you subscribe to American Free Press, you get lots of good news and information that you're not going to get anywhere else. You know, a lot of people have criticized me because of my what they perceive to be my defense of Islam and my opposition to people bashing Muslims. And, you know, the fact is I have a lot of good friends in the Muslim world, and I have come to see that they're not the screaming fanatics and the monsters and the haters that we're told by the mainstream media in America that they are. So I have no apologies for that. I'll probably be going back to Malaysia later this year and speaking before some Islamic groups, and I can tell you that they are as friendly as anybody you can find in the world. So I have no apologies for that. I'm a bit concerned when I see the certain people who are supposedly American nationalists suddenly turning into Muslim bashers, because it sounds an awful lot to me just like what I'm hearing from Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz and the whole crowd that got us into war in Iraq in the first place, and now pushing for war against the people of Iran. So that having been said, I want to go on to our callers. We have Keith from Rhode Island. Keith, come on up.
Hey there, Mr. Piper.
How you doing there?
Hi there. Please, we don't need a divided kingdom. We do need a second hour of your show, though. We don't need that dumb divided kingdom. It's just like breaks up the continuity of the RBN programming. But I know you don't have any. That's not your bailiwick. I mean, you don't have any authority over who, you know, over what programs get aired and what get removed. I understand that, but if somebody. If Stat Miller is listening or somebody with authority, please, you know, consider. Please consider giving Mr. Piper a second hour.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Keith, say something else.
Okay. I'd like to talk about Jack Anderson for a moment.
Okay.
It's clear to me, now that he was on the payroll of the Israeli lobby, or he was working for the pro-Israeli
Very much so. He had all sorts of deals with the Anti-Defamation League of Brith, for one thing. Let me tell you this story. This is kind of interesting. I'm glad you bring it up. You know, Jack Anderson used to be the assistant to Drew Pearson, and they worked here in Washington. And one of the deals they had with the Anti-Defamation League was this, that there was a guy who worked for Anderson who would hit all of his expenses. This guy's name was John Henshaw. He worked for Anderson and Pearson. Mr. Henshaw, all of his expenses were paid for by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. In return for that, when the ADL wanted to target somebody or Anderson had some reason to go after somebody, what they would do, they would put Henshaw onto this person. Then if Henshaw needed to hire a private detective, he would hire the private detective out of his expenses. And then all of his expenses would be turned back to the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. So this is how Jack Anderson and Drew Pearson had their kind of private behind-the-scenes deals with the Israeli lobby in Washington. I mean, this went on in many, many instances. And it's very, very interesting. The reason why I know about those details is because John Henshaw eventually broke with Jack Anderson and later wrote about some of these dealings with Anderson and the ADL. So it's a very interesting story that goes to show you how quote-unquote respected columnists can be manipulated by private pressure groups like that. So interesting story.
Right. Well, I never had any respect for Anderson. Tried to defame Richard Nixon. He helped bring down the Richard Nixon administration, him and Daniel Shore, mm-hmm. another guy I have no respect for. Now I see why Anderson and probably Daniel Shore was on Nixon's enemies list. It seems this was a concerted effort among, I don't know, liberal Jews at least, to basically drive Nixon out of office.
Well, I think you put your finger on it right there, because, you know, that's one aspect of the whole Watergate affair. Actually, in Final Judgment, in a chapter on Watergate, I've written a little bit about some of the details that have appeared in a variety of assorted places, which point to the fact that Nixon was seriously reassessing U.S. Middle East policy to the distress of Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig and their friends in Israel. And And at one point, Nixon himself said that if the Israeli lobby continued to stand in his way of efforts to broker a Middle East peace, that he was going to tear up his pre-prepared State of the Union address in 1975 and go on the air and expose the intrigues of the Israeli lobby. Well, of course, he never made it to a State of the Union address in 1975 because they'd already forced him out of office there.
And isn't it a coincidence that Mark Felt, probably another Zionist agent, was Deep Throat?
Well, that's interesting in and of itself because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people who don't necessarily buy that story because if you look at the way the story came out, bear this in mind, Mark Felt has never said publicly that he was Deep Throat. Bear that in mind. He has members of his family have said that he had suggested that he was Deep Throat, and then what's his name? Robert Woodward has come out and said that Mark Felt was Deep Throat. But you know, if you look very carefully at the whole story, it's not as cut and dried as it appears to be. And I think it's Professor Joan Hoff of the University of Montana. She's written some about this. She thinks that this story by Woodward is probably some sort of cover story for the real story, and I tend to agree with that myself based upon what I've read. But, you know, my 10 cents on the issue.
Well, you know, Robert Woodward, I don't really trust him either.
Right.
This is a guy who seems to, I think the whole universe revolves around him and his column or whatever, you know, and what he writes about. But you're right, that's a very interesting theory. It's got to be more than just one guy, right?
Yeah, Martin? Exactly, and that's part of the point of it, too. Actually, it appears Deborah Davis is a young Jewish woman who wrote a very interesting biography of Katharine Graham that got shelved by the publisher.
Of course.
In her book, she asserts that a guy named Richard Ober, who was James Angleton's CIA liaison inside the White House, may have been one of the key figures passing out information that went on to Woodward and Bernstein. And what's very, very interesting about Woodward and Bernstein is in their book they describe Deep Throat as a guy who showed years of heavy cigarette smoking and drinking scotch, and that he was familiar with the world of poetry. Well, Mark Felt had quit smoking back in the 1950s. 20 years before. I don't know what he drank, and there was never any sign that he read anything other than the FBI manual. But James Angleton was very much into the world of poetry, had been a follower of Ezra Pound, of all people. Angleton was a notorious chain smoker, and he was a notorious drinker of a whiskey called Scotch. So that description of Deep Throat fits James Angleton far more than it does this guy Felt. So it's very, very likely, in my view, again, this is just my view on the whole thing based on what I've read in a variety of sources, that this guy Ober was one of the key sources taking it back to his boss Angleton, who was then in turn taking it to Woodward.
Well, I know Angleton has very strong Zionist connections.
Oh, yeah, Angleton was the Mossad liaison of the CIA, and in fact, in her book, Deborah Davis says that that Ober was in charge of what she describes as a Mossad counterintelligence desk inside the White House.
Amazing.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is all, you know, this is not something I dreamed up. This is something that Deborah Davis wrote about back in the early 1980s, but, you know, she mentioned that scary little word Mossad, and no one ever wanted to touch it, you know. So it's just one of these things that, you know, we're never probably going to know the real 100% story, but I don't believe the Mark Felt story too much.
It's just too cut and dry.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. Oh,
one last thing.
Yeah.
William F. Buckley and all the right-wingers, they say the worst thing Richard Nixon ever did was impose those wage and price controls in 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And other people say it was the covering up the Watergate scale. But isn't the worst thing Richard Nixon ever did as president defending Israel at the last minute in the Yom Kippur War of October 1973? Isn't that the worst thing he could have possibly done?
I think you're probably right.
And I guess he did that at the insistence of Henry Kissinger?
Yeah, there was a lot of intrigue, as I recall, going on at the time. And in fact, Al Haig later complained that he thought Nixon was deliberately delaying. He thought that Nixon was really trying not to. So even that apparently was one of the concerns about Nixon with the powers that be. So there were a lot of reasons they wanted to see him out of office. You know, they couldn't really assassinate him because,
right,
you know, we'd already had a big assassination. It would have been just too obvious. So it was easier to trip him up and to take advantage of his flaws, and he succeeded.
And this all started with the Alger Hiss thing. Is that how far because of that?
That's hard to say. You know, Nixon kind of was his own worst enemy in many ways. So
yes.
He knew how to play the game, you know, but in the end it undid him. So, you know,
but,
the way it goes.
It was a minor break. I mean, yeah, it has to be a well-orchestrated campaign to bring him down.
Well, I mean, based on what I've read, I'm absolutely convinced that E. Howard Hunt deliberately bungled the Watergate burglary. And, you
wow.
know, even Gordon Liddy has suggested as much.
I'm so glad I brought this subject up.
Gordon Liddy has suggested as much, that's been the subject of some real controversy. Yeah, it's very, very likely that Hunt was working for Angleton.
Yes.
In that whole thing.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so that's what the whole Watergate thing, it was much deeper than they want to have us believe. So, well, listen, Keith, I got to move on. We got a lot of callers here. Thanks for calling. That was a fun discussion. Okay, let's go to Richard from Alabama. Richard, are you there?
Yes.
There we go, Richard.
You didn't shut me off. You just turned the volume down.
Oh, I didn't do that. I don't know what happened there, but we're glad to have you back.
Okay, I take exception to that phrase, illegal alien.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, there are only two categories of aliens. There are the dumb ones who will admit where they were born and get deported, and there are the smart ones who will say just once, I was born in the USA, and not allow themselves to be cross-examined. The smart ones will just say it once, not under oath, and then force the government to try to prove they were born somewhere else. And that strategy is pretty well foolproof as far as I can see. There are four or five ways to get identification that leaves off your place of birth, but it's pretty easy, whether you're overseas or in this country, to get the ID that leaves off your place of birth.
Well, I'll tell you what, here in the Washington, D.C. area, you cannot get a driver's license unless you can prove that you are a U.S. citizen. So I'm just going by what I saw here in Washington, D.C. Now, you know, you hear about all these stories about these phony identifications going on. I'm confident that there's probably so many truly illegal aliens that have totally legal identification, which of course is totally forged, that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to slip through the crack one way or the other. But I don't know how. I really don't know how that's going to be enforced. If there was ever a serious attempt to find out who was here legally and who was here illegally, I just don't know how it could be done.
Now you slip back into using that word illegal, because there's no need to get any phony, any fraudulent ID. There's no need to forge anything. There are legal ways to get ID that leave off your place of birth.
Yeah, but then again, you can't get a driver's license in the District of Columbia without showing U.S. citizenship. So you'd have to get an illegal document showing that you were a U.S. citizen. And a lot of times what you're required to do to get that is having a birth certificate certified from the state or locale in which you were born.
But you don't need a birth certificate. All you need is two affidavits. Did you know that? You don't need a birth certificate. Two affidavits will substitute.
Well, let's put it this way. I hope I don't ever have to go through that recourse, because since 9-1-1, bear in mind, they have really started to crack down on on requirements for obtaining documentation. So where are you referring to specifically? Some particular locale or generally?
Oh, well, all over the country. If you don't have a birth certificate, two affidavits from people who knew your parents will suffice for substitute for a birth certificate.
Well, you know what? I was not aware of that. I can only take your word for it. But if that's the case, then somebody somewhere is going to start making a lot of money coming up with, 12 or 20 million affidavits. I mean, that'd be a real business to get into, Richard. Maybe.
Yeah. You just do them up in Spanish and have... And the notary can't even read them.
And then somebody can make some money translating it into English. Richard, I thank you for your call. We have to go to a break now, but when we come back, we are going to have the master prophet himself, Bishop James Floyd. Stay tuned. If you haven't been listening, you better start listening. Bishop Floyd is coming aboard.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're wrapping up the hour. I'm getting ready to bring a caller up here in a moment, Bishop Jim Floyd, the Master Prophet. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if it weren't for this caller, I can guarantee you 100% that I wouldn't be sitting here in my little home here in Washington, D.C. right now. I wouldn't be the host of this radio program. I probably wouldn't have written the last two or three books that I have written. I don't know where I would be, but this is a guy who actually, through a long well, through a series of circumstances too complicated to describe here, he saved Liberty Lobby from absolute destruction. As a consequence of his actions, Liberty Lobby was able to survive a couple more years, and then when Liberty Lobby was finally destroyed, thanks to what Jim Floyd had done, we were still able to pick up and move on and set up American Free Press. So I want to bring up Jim Floyd. We're not here to talk about that, but I just want you to note about that, ladies and gentlemen. Bishop Floyd, come aboard.
I am somebody. I like myself, and I want to be more like me. Michael Collins Piper, I love you. Alabama loves you.
How you doing, Jim?
You have received, whether you know it or not, the Golden Foreskin Award for excellence in broadcasting. And I got honorable mention for being the best caller of the month. There is a God.
Only of the month, Jim?
There is a God.
Look,
I want you to pray. I've got a prayer request.
All right.
Actually, I got two.
Okay.
I want you to pray for my grammar.
Okay.
You know, it's hard to be a good Southern writer and have good grammar.
Well, what about?
I want good grammar because I want to get on some of these pantywaist websites like Lou Rockwell. And they won't let me on.
What do they have requirements for special grammar or?
Oh, they wrote me and Gary North wrote me and told me if I had anything to say, go to school and learn grammar. I believe God can heal my grammar, brother. I want God to heal my grammar so I can get on there with Gary North.
Well, you know what? I tell you what, Jim. Some of the smartest people I've known have had some of the worst grammar and some of the worst spelling and some of the foulest mouths, I might add, but they were people that knew how to think, and they were people that knew how to put their ideas in writing, and they weren't afraid to say what they had to say.
And the second, let me tell you about the second request. I want God to heal my hair. You look at Kenneth Copeland and Pat Robinson and John Hagee, God healed their hair, brother.
He must have sent winds and storms.
Leroy Jenkins, he healed his hair so much, his hair's blacker than midnight. And he's 90 years old.
Well, don't you think they have an in with God that the rest of us don't?
Well, I don't know. I talk to God all the time.
The question is, Jim, does he call back?
Yes, he does.
You know what?
What God wants more than anything?
What's that?
Some honesty.
Well, I tell you what, in all honesty, I hear God sending the music down on us right now, so we're going to have to say goodnight to everybody. Jim, I love you too. Tell Sylvie I said hello.
See you later.
All righty. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for your calls. Thanks for listening in. Appreciate it very, very much. And thank God for people like Jim Floyd who aren't afraid to say and do what has to be done in times of crisis, because they do help America. Thanks again, ladies and gentlemen. It's an interesting show this evening, and I hope you'll tune in tomorrow night. We'll talk a lot more about what we need to talk about. Thanks again. This is Michael Collins Piper.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work. Doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
They still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.